Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little after 5 o'clock on this beautiful Thursday, Evan and Tiki on the Fan until about 6:30 tonight. Got Thursday Night Football a little bit later on as well between the Ravens and the Bengals. We'll make our pick later, but it's a little after 5 o'clock. You know what that means.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com.
That's where I got my car.
Nice. Is it?
Mercedes-Benz of Morristown.
Yeah, driving good.
I love it.
All right.
Electric Mercedes.
I love it. So plug it in at Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. All right, I'm going to give you, off the news we have, and congrats obviously to Met fans out there, to, you know, looking for little crumbs to celebrate. Off the news that Stevie Cohen going to visit here with Scott Boras and company, get ready for Juan Soto. The five reason Met fans are absolutely delusional to think they're signing Juan Soto.
Really? Wow.
And I've actually just realized I'm changing my number 5 on my script. So that's...
Wow. So you're coming with the weapons today, all right?
Apparently I have like 9 reasons, but we'll keep it.
Five?
Yeah. Look, Met fans, now's the time to celebrate signing Juan Soto because you're not actually going
to
sign him.
All right, just get to your stupid list.
It's stupid now? It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown.
It's a wonder. In fact, it inspired someone to email me that they want to start a Cinco de Rico on the Rico Bronya.
Oh, good.
So I'll have to give you commission on that. But anyhow.
We're franchising.
What is this, the 5 reasons why we're delusional that we're not getting Juan Soto as Met fans?
Yes.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Juan Soto's a pillar of health. He doesn't even eat McDonald's.
I'm glad Tiki's laughing. Because that's ridiculous. But
imagine how disgusted he must be that you used a fast food mascot all year.
Great.
He's not going to stay healthy for 15 years if you're peddling French fries down his face.
I love it.
Number 4.
See, the beauty of the Mets winning those 2 games versus the Dodgers is they didn't win 4, meaning they didn't get to the World Series. You know who did get to the World Series? The Yankees, and they got 3 extra home gates at it, selling Ohtani jersey and everything else. That extra World Series revenue, it made up for any losses the Yankees know. And they know more World Series revenue will come their way with Soto. The Mets don't have that revenue the Yankees do. They're signing Juan Soto.
They just have a $16 billion.
Yeah, but I mean, this is just proof. The Yankees saw that cash register, cha-ching. They're not losing.
So far, not impressed, not even mad. Keep going.
All right.
Number 3.
The Yankees tipped their hand to Scott Boras last offseason. They let him know there is extra funds. Anybody remember that $300 million offer they gave Yamamoto that he didn't take? Where did that money go? If you're going to give Juan Soto, say, you're prepared to give him $400 million, they have an extra $300 to make it $700 million that Yamamoto didn't take. Don't tell me the cupboard is bare.
Didn't they have to give $18 million to Marcus Stroman?
Okay. Yeah, ish.
Okay, so $284 million extra dollars?
I know. I don't get to cut too much.
So stop assuming the Yankees don't have the money. They have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Number 2.
Something Met fans can't relate to because you never sign anybody. Show me the last Yankee free agent they wanted, and we know they wanted Soto, that they didn't get.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto?
Different.
That was their own.
Oh, you're saying from their own team?
Yeah.
I mean, Cano, I can't even say Cano because they literally drew a red line in the sand and said, screw it, we'll let you go.
And by the way, had the money, signed Ellsbury right after that. Okay. Now, last but not least.
Number 1.
I hate to break it to you, as rich as your owner is, you're still the Mets. And Mark Vientos is an Aaron Judge. And you should always remember that. Enjoy your little tease, your little dream.
You know, I've heard enough, and I let it go because of the sanctity of Cinco de Five-O.
Good.
But I really,
Tommy's talking.
Yeah, fat belly, fat gums, fat lips, basically giving me the whole breakdown here of why. Oh, by the way, Steve Cohen, we'll just for the audience here, is meeting with Scott Boras, his pal Scott Boras, in SoCal next week.
Tommy, I'll let you finish. I just want to remind the audience, he's right. Tommy, if anybody's just tuning in now, getting in their car, Scott Boras is meeting with Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
You forget.
What's so funny about that?
Because Scott Boras already met with Brian Cashman at the World Series.
Yeah, what were they talking about? That we haven't had rain in the last 3 weeks? They didn't talk about anything.
Hold on. Timeout. It's got to be a Lou Gehrig debate series.
I think
this is set up.
Well, hold on, though. I use my material.
It's all right. You better think quick.
You better think
I don't
material.
Have the song ready to go. Hold
all right.
on.
I've got my scoreboard out. Of course, anytime Tommy and Sean are about to fight each other, we call a timeout. We have official debate. So we have a board here for the Lou Gehrig debate series. It is currently 3 for Loogie, 2 for Morash.
And that last one was dominating for Loogie.
It was a dominating victory, so he's on a little bit of a winning streak. So the rules of a Lou Gehrig debate series. The rules of the Lou Gehrig debate series is each gets a minute to make their case. And then, for the following minute, they can just yell at each other. So, I think that Tommy should go first, only because you made sort of a case in a Cinco de Five-O.
And you're the one that made him angry.
And you made him angry.
Wait, can I ask you something?
What?
Because my brain started to hurt a little bit. What are we debating?
If the Mets have no shot to get one.
Okay, just making sure.
Sure, you gave 5 reasons why we're...
I want to stick to my material, then.
No, you said we're delusional, so I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the whole premise of your Cinco is now going to be debated in a Lou Gehrig debate series.
Sure.
And, of course, me and Tiki will decide who won the debate.
And we'll determine whether or not this was a worthwhile Cinco.
Now, Tommy, be careful. I don't want you using all your material for your Thursday Night Football warm-up show. I know you don't like spoiling stuff, so...
Okay.
Anyhow, Tommy, your minute begins now.
I have great news for Yankee fans. See, Yankee fans have called this station for years begging for George Steinbrenner to come back. Well, I have good news. George is back, and his name is Steve Effin Cohen. That's where it is. This is his most prized possession. Pun intended, Juan Soto is the apple of Steve Cohen's eye. Steve Cohen has learned from his past mistakes. Steve Cohen is not going to get beat again. My owner is going to Southern California to meet with Scott Boras. What is your owner doing? Eating shrimp cocktail with the Pope again? This guy has no clue what's going on. My owner has more motivation. He has more money. He has a better roster. He has a situation where Juan Soto is the missing piece in a Mets championship. He is not going to be outbid. Steve Cohen's mission is to pass the Yankees in popularity, in wins, in free agency, in star players, and Juan Soto is the guy that puts the Mets over the top. The Yankees are content, they're corporate, and they will not get Juan Soto.
Your clock is up.
Thank
Sean Morash, your minute begins right now.
Tommy, how old are you?
39.
The Mets have never won a World Series in Tommy Lou Gehrig's lifetime. Juan Soto has. The Yankees have. Juan Soto's uncles were Yankee fans. He got a taste of the fans in right field chanting his name. They weren't online buying hamburgers for overpriced things. He knows where everything is boiled here. He knows what the fans love in New York. He knows what it's like to be a Yankee. And most of all, Steve Cohen already tipped his hand. Steve Cohen does like signing former Yankees. The trash ones from Luis Severino, Harrison Bader, go on and on and on. So, Tommy, you're right. You're going to get your hopes up. Juan Soto's made up his mind. He likes teasing. But ultimately, enjoy Clay Holmes, pal, because that's where Steve Cohen's bottomless pockets are going. Juan Soto will be back with his best friend Aaron Judge in the Bronx.
All right. Wow. Left over 5 seconds. This is where now you can just yell at each other.
Well, because, I mean, Sean's arrogance is going to be the death of him because number 2 on his list was, show me the Yankee free agent they wanted and they didn't get. This is the Steve Cohen era. This is not the Wilpons that shopped on the clearance rack. This is Steve Cohen and all his billions of dollars going against your owner that talked about the budget earlier in the year.
Steve Cohen's first offseason, Tommy?
Steve Cohen's first offseason?
Is this Steve Cohen's first offseason?
No, it's not his first offseason.
Okay. Steve Cohen has spent money. His pockets for 4 years, and all he does is keep shopping.
No, he's been spending a lot of money. No. Steve Cohen has spent a ton of money. In fact, they have the highest payroll in.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball. Steve Cohen has shown that he will spend money.
Why were they little engine that could this year?
No, that was a narrative because we wanted to be like Grimace and like OMG and the Hawk to a Girl and Positive
thing,
Tommy.
Tommy? Yeah. One more
Sean?
Thing.
A little bit.
The Mets were so much better than the Yankees this year. They were the best team Dodgers saw. Then why do you want our players?
Juan Soto is going to go to the Mets because he knows who Big Brother is around here, and it's the Mets. I told you this back in July. Positive Tommy's always right. You are the little brothers. We are the big brothers. We are going to take you to school. We took you to school on the field. That wasn't enough, so we're going to have a little extra credit here, a little after-school special, and Steve Cohen is going to take Hal Steinbrenner to the cleaners.
Go ahead. Last Tommy, word, this last is the last line I got to give you. Just enjoy being the uncrowned signees of Juan Soto.
All right, there we go. A Lou Gehrig debate series in the books. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. Now we get to vote. Tiki, I'll let you go first.
Sean got him with the last line. It was solid. It was solid. And the cast-off bad Yankees that Steve Cohen signs, that hit me too. I got to go, Sean.
He's going with Sean. This is very difficult because, obviously, I agree with Tommy.
Of course you do, but it's not about whether you agree or not.
No, you're right. You're right.
This is debate 101.
You're right. But I just want to admit, I just want this clear. I agree with Tommy. I actually think the Mets are going to end up with Juan Soto. I've moved into that pendulum of, in fact, they better get Juan Soto because this morning I was playing baseball with Jet, and he called himself Juan Soto.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, oh.
That means if the Yankees get him, your son, Jet, is becoming a Yankee
fan. No. Jet want to come to Yankee opening day?
No. I think he wants Juan Soto to stick at the guys like Sean. Oh. So I think he knows what's at stake. So obviously, I think a lot of what you said, Sean, is complete BS. Hmm. And a lot of what Tommy said is right. I mean, this is Steve Cohen. Don't compare it to a former era. You know, talking about the Yankees never losing free agents. Like, George Steinbrenner wouldn't lose Bernie Williams. I don't know about Hal Steinbrenner.
Sure, okay, yeah. No, he definitely lost Aaron Judge.
With all of that said, I think Sean kicked Lugie's ass. Because there were some lines in there, like the Yankee trash. I thought Tommy was tripped up a few times.
I did too.
I don't think Tommy went to the best avenue. So, you know I love you, and you know I'm on your side, but I'm with Tiki. Yeah. Sean Morris just won it, and we are now tied up at 3-3.
Good job, Sean. Good job.
Lou Gehrig debate.
See that, Tommy? I won the popular vote.
You know what, Sean? I won't call you tonight to concede, but I'll give a speech tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Sounds good.
Okay. My pen isn't working, so the scoreboard still says 3-2.
Oh, no.
But you can trust me, it's 3-3. My pen died. I don't know what happened.
The top was probably left off.
In fact, I have a dry erase board for those that live listening on the radio.
I was getting ready to give you this Sharpie, but this is not going to work.
Yeah, because then it becomes permanent, right?
Right, it becomes permanent.
So I have this great dry erase board that I bought with my own money at an Office Max when we thought of the Lou Gehrig debate series. Mm. And my pen is now working as an eraser. Every time I use it, it erases a number. I'm very confused. Watch. So describe this. Look.
Yeah.
It's an eraser.
There's no ink coming out of it.
And it's erasing it.
Is there another side of that pen?
No, I got to find a new pen.
All right.
I'm going to order one on Amazon right now.
I'm sure somebody has a dry... Oh, I guess nobody has
dry erase
pens anymore. Who uses dry erase boards except for teachers in high school?
And radio hosts who do the Lou Gehrig debate series.
Right.
But congratulations to Sean. It's tied up at 3. Yeah.
That was a good one.
It was good.
It's a good one.
Sometimes a single can lead to that. You never know. Dino is in South Plainfield. How are you, Dino?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been a long time since I called.
Oh, welcome back. Thank you for calling back.
This guy, Sean, he's shivering. He's shivering because he knows Soto's going to the Mets, because if Soto really cared about the Yankees and their fans, after they lost the World Series, you don't say all 30 teams are available. You talk like Pete Alonso says, I love playing in New York. Soto didn't say that. Well, Soto is going to the big money guy.
But in fairness, Pete's been here for 6 years.
Mm.
So
there's more of an emotional attachment.
Of course there is.
Look, I think that with the Soto thing, we have to kind of take it with a couple of different aspects. Aspect number one, do we agree with Dino's point that he's going to the highest bidder? Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
You agree with that? Okay, so we all kind of agree that there's no sentimentality here. And by the way, that's the first argument Sean and I had 9 months ago. Because when we talked about even a hypothetical Juan Soto trade, I always thought of it as, hey, I'm a Met fan. I don't want to trade for him. I just want to sign him as a free agent. That's something we talked about like a year ago at this time. Mm-hmm. Before he was ever a Yankee, I was one of the Met fans, and I had to argue with my fellow Met fans. I never wanted to trade for him. I didn't want to trade for him because, A, I didn't think the Mets were that good. I didn't think we were good enough. I didn't want to give up the prospects. And I didn't think it would offer an advantage, which I think I've been proven right about. There is no advantage.
Right.
And the Yankees have no advantage.
Right. And, well, just back to your Mets point real quick. Yeah. But if the Mets had signed him and just say things hadn't turned out well.
Traded for him.
I mean, I traded for him and you have a bad season. It just leaves a sour taste.
I agree. It could have actually done more harm.
Right. It was not a guarantee that the Mets were going to have the season that they ultimately had.
I agree.
So, whereas the Yankees, they knew they were going to, according to them, go all in. Right. So, there was less of a downside risk of a non-playoff season, but a bad season. And Juan Soto getting turned off by the Yankees.
You're right.
That easily could have happened with the Mets.
And that's why the Yankees, it always made sense for them to trade for him. And I was dead set against the Mets trading for him. But Sean, if you agree with the idea that I've had for a while and that you're now admitting that he's going to the highest bidder, now it comes down to Hal versus Steve. That's all it comes down to. Yeah. Stop tradition. Stop the big brother stuff. It comes down to two men and two owners. And that's where you've got to put your line in the sand. Do you trust Hal Steinbrenner over Steve Cohen right now?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And by the way, don't say now that you're agreeing. I've been steadfast in this that ultimately push come to shove. These are the Yankees and these are Hal Steinbrenner. I know that Steve Cohen is rich as hell. Hal knows the deal here with trading for Juan Soto. He's going to top him even if it's by 15 cents.
If he doesn't, and this is how we open the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Is that an unforgivable mistake?
Yes, it is.
By Hal Steinbrenner?
Yes, it is. And I want to make this very clear to Yankee fans everywhere because I'm not going to want the pivot isn't. Oh, Mets, you know, you're big overpay. No. You congratulate the Met fans. They got, in my opinion, the best player in baseball.
Thank you.
And then you pivot and I hate to use this term, piss and moan at Met fans about it. The attention turns to the owner because he let us down.
I agree. And don't attack Juan Soto. Because we all know he's going to the highest bidder.
Right.
So don't give me that whole.
Well, unless he goes to the non-highest bidder. And he gives some cockamamie reason why he wanted to beat. Go back to the Washington Nationals.
For less money.
For less money.
That's the caveat.
Because it's the conspiracy theory concocted 4 years ago when he got traded to the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I think going for less money is the game changer.
Yes, that's when you can get mad at Juan Soto.
But if he goes for the most money, I don't want to hear, because I always hear this. I heard this about DeGrom and it annoyed me. People would attack Jake and say, fine, go to Texas. You're not going to win anything. Okay. And then those idiots watched them win a World Series that year. Don't give me that. Same thing with Met fans. If he doesn't come to your team, your anger or your disappointment should be straight up at your owner. And I appreciate you, Sean, saying that. You're dead on.
Everybody's got to be held accountable here. And the owner is first and foremost in that.
No question about it. Let's go to Landon in Bayside. What's up, Landon? By the way,
how's it going?
Landon, real quick, before you say anything, we appreciate the call. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's next on SNY. Obviously, we're here on the radio together for another hour. Go ahead, Landon.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man.
Good. Everyone talked about how he's not that good of an outfielder and he's only got a few years left. I want to know, I'm a Mets fan. I think he's coming to the Mets too, just like reasons you just laid out. But how much do you think of that was business decisions? Like, he's not running into a wall because it could cost them $100 million or something like that. Because my wife's a Yankee fan. So I watched a lot of Yankee games, and I saw him, hold up as he's getting close to a wall. I saw him not really want to lay out too many times. I mean, and I'm thinking it's probably a business decision, and I really can't blame him for it.
Right. No, I you're definitely right about that. Some guys are going to go crazy. Bryce Harper used to do that, by the way, and he was always hurt. Aaron Judge did that for an early part of his career, and he was hurt a lot.
I don't believe for a second that happened.
But I mean...
In fact, can I give you this specific example for those that remember? The Yankees played a game against the Mariners in mid-September, and Juan Soto dove into the fence and Yankee fans lost their minds because they were like, oh my God, he's dead. You guys remember that play? It was against the Mariners. Yeah. It was a weird day because I think it was a 4 o'clock game. So for us, it was very strange. We did a very quick show. Yep. And then the Yankees played this afternoon game against the Mariners and Juan Soto dove into a fence. The day after they clinched?
Yes, this was the day game where Jazz Chisholm and everybody was drinking, and they said, who cares about the game the next day?
Was it that day? Oh, maybe you're right. Soto dove into the fence and almost, like, died. That's an exaggeration. He almost got really hurt. All the trainers came out, the team came out, and then he stayed in the game. So it's a great hypothetical if it was true. Juan Soto, in a contract year after clinching the American League East, dove into the fence at Safeco Field or whatever the hell it's called now in Seattle. That is not a guy that was making business decisions. That's a guy who CC'd it. And you know what your guy did?
Yep.
3 days rest in a contract year. That's a guy who said, I know I'm a free agent, but I'm going balls to the wall. So maybe Soto really is going to be a Met because I'm getting really defensive of him.
Yeah. And before English majors get defensive, doved is not a word.
I said dove.
Doved.
Dove.
You said doved.
Did I, though?
Tiki, is it dove or doved?
It's dove.
I never said doved.
We have the audio files.
Doved is making Dove, who is the board op, Evan, on BT and Sal, into a verb.
And what teams did BT root for, Tiki?
I don't remember.
Wait, do you have the audio of me saying doved?
I am going to get it right now. Exactly. Just stand by, please. Exactly. No, I'm going to get it.
But doved is correct. It's a term to describe Dove Kramer and something that Dove would do. So, like, if I brought in really smelly food and started eating it next to you, then I'd be like saying
oatmeal.
I doved it.
But he's like oatmeal and cereal.
No, he had tuna a few times.
Sardines, yeah. I think, once.
Ask Giannotti about that. Because when he produced our program many years ago, obviously, and it was Dove and G on the other side of the glass. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I felt bad. And it only got worse with Ernie. Oh, boy. Yeah, I said Dove. Anyhow, that's a wildly untrue statement about Juan Soto, and I just want to defend him. I think he played hard. I thought he played hard this entire time here. Oh, good. I got a text message from a buddy of mine.
Doved.
LMFAO. What is LMFAO? Oh, laughing my bleep. Okay. That was untrue from that Met fan. He never pulled up ever. The dude played hard every day, both sides of the ball. He just isn't that great in getting reads on fly balls, and he has a good arm. By the way,
so perceptually, it just looks like he's not playing it right.
Well, no, I think that's different, like misreading balls off the bat. Like, yeah, that's why he's an average right fielder.
But I'm saying, if you misread a ball, can't you perceive that as someone who's watching it as he's not trying to get it?
You can, but that play against the Mariners, if I'm remembering that in a meaningless game and it jumps out at me when a caller brings that up, how does anyone not, like, that's the definition of playing hard. In fact, you could argue Soto was being irresponsible with that play. Hmm. Like, dude, what are you doing? The team just clinched and you're diving into the fence in right field in Seattle? Like, what the hell's going on? Let's go to Ben in Rochester. What's up, Ben?
Hey, so first of all, I just want to say Juan Soto, I'm looking forward. He was meeting with the Rays earlier. So I'm looking forward to him playing with the Rays at Steinbrenner Field. They'll be playing their home games next year.
Very nice.
You can save that prediction for later. But I was originally actually calling about the Saquon talk you were talking about earlier, and just wanted to mention one thing that bugs me about this. Even on, like, national shows, there's always a narrative of, like, the Giants are wrong, let him go, and fans must be upset to see him doing well with, you know, the Eagles now. And I realize it's the division rival, but the Titans let Henry go to the Ravens, where he's doing great. The Raiders let Aaron Jones go, and both of those teams are both now 2-7, but never gets mentioned as if they made a mistake by letting those guys go.
No, but I think you hit on it. I think it's the – sorry, did I drop something?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. I think it's the division rival thing, and I think it's also the laugh at New York thing. Nobody cares about the Tennessee Titans, so they're not going to mock them.
Right.
It's laugh at New York.
Nobody cares about the Raiders either
right.
at this point.
No, you're
so,
right.
So you mentioned all those other guys, but Josh Jacobs is also crushing it in Green Bay right now.
You're right. But I think it's division rival/ New York.
Nobody's laughing at the Cincinnati Bengals when Joe Mixon's having a hell of a year with the Houston Texans.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, it's almost all of these guys. These really good running backs left bad situations to go to better teams. Those better teams are reaping the benefits of these top-end running backs, and the teams they left are all struggling.
Yeah. It's amazing how these running backs have really hit to where they've gone.
Right.
Like, it all seems to have worked out completely, but if we are being fair, which we tried to do when we discussed this about 45 minutes ago, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, is, all right, if the Giants had kept him, what would be different? It's like asking that question about the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
If the Titans had kept Derrick Henry, what would be different with them?
He'd be grinding his way to a 1,000-yard season.
And what would the Titans' record be?
Probably the same.
Exactly. And that's where we need to be fair about these decisions that teams mm-hmm. make.
Because, by the way, he was there last year, and they weren't good.
Exactly. No, you're 100% right. More of your calls next. A lot of people chiming in on Juan Soto and those two yelling at each other. Plus, we'll get you set for a very interesting Thursday night game as well. 888-808-1019. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Plus, it's not really political, so I promise you, I've got the most interesting factoid about this election. It's not political, has nothing to do with the candidates, that I think will blow your mind.
Hmm.
I'll give it to you coming up.
Plus, the Rangers have probably just signed Igor Shesterkin. We'll give that to you.
How about that? That's glass-breaking worthy.
It's not done. It's on the verge.
So it's a rumor?
Kevin Weeks is reporting $11.5 million and in a Kevin Weeks way, if you know hockey. So
in a Kevin Weeks way?
He does a picture of New York City, tweets you the number, and that's usually the signal, okay, it's going to be done in the next hour.
Well, that'd be great news, and I think every Ranger fan and every hockey fan knew there's no way. I know he could eat up a lot of your cap. There's no way you could let Igor walk at the end of the year. Hey, ready for this? I think this is interesting. Primetime coverage of the presidential election the other night had 42 million viewers across the 18 cable and broadcast networks. That was down 26% from 4 years earlier. It is the least watched election coverage since rating services began keeping total viewer tallies in 2000. To move that up a notch, 22% of households were watching the election. That is the lowest percentage ever going all the way back to 1960.
Wow.
The interest in consuming said election was the lowest in our lifetime. Now, there are ways where you could say people were still consuming it, like social media.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, that needs to be factored in. But I think a lot of people did what Sean did on Tuesday, which is they watched the Penguin and actually didn't pay attention to the election.
And I got anything I needed or wanted to consume within a half an hour the next morning on Twitter. Any clip of any big news personality, both sides, all the networks. So all I needed to see. I didn't need to sit there for 6 hours.
So the caveat to that is, and that's a great answer, and it's a good theory on, well, you don't need to watch it.
Yep.
How do you explain 4 years ago? Because 4 years ago was the most watched election in the history. And Twitter existed?
Well, that's an easy one. In 2020, we had nothing we could do besides watch TV. Well,
that's a good point.
But that's what we were doing last night or Tuesday night.
No. What he's saying is the pandemic, because of the pandemic,
correct,
everybody was kind of stuck inside away from everything. And it was 2020 felt fraught. Like something bad is going to happen one way or another. And ultimately it did, obviously, because of January 6th. But like it felt like you had to watch it. This year it kind of felt, what do we think was going to happen?
Yeah, but you could say that about 08 and 12. Like, I mean, those weren't very close elections, and people still watched more of it. So I don't even think it's the results, which I think going in was a little bit more 50-50 than we realized, or that the outcome turned out to be.
No, I don't think it's that.
I wonder what it is. I actually don't even know what it is.
I think it was a lack of connection to the candidates.
Maybe.
Nobody knows Kamala, right? She was a flawed candidate because she didn't have a primary. She wasn't. It wasn't the mandate of the Democratic, populace. They didn't have a pulse on the country because they didn't have a primary. Trump, we already know what the issues are. So it was like, what are we watching for?
Yeah,
I think it was different because of the lack of connection. There was no debates, so we didn't really have an idea of what. I don't know. It was just weird.
And also,
it's not like you were watching the election coverage and getting Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. You're getting talking heads giving their stupid opinions.
But that's what we always have had, at least what we've recently had.
But what happened, cycles. What happened also 4 years ago, which I think ingrained plenty of people like me, which is I watched something for a payoff. I'm not sitting there watching all night if I have no guarantee.
So you assumed you weren't going to get the outcome?
Yes, I knew I'd find out in the morning because I'm not making it till 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. And the nights where we used to, by midnight, no, are over.
Fair enough. You know, it's funny. The election that got me into politics was 2000.
She didn't concede until yesterday.
Till the next day, yeah. But if you're watching, you also knew the election was over by, I'd say, a good... I mean, you could have figured it out by 8 o'clock.
Right.
But if you really wanted to be patient, you definitely knew by midnight. But in 2000... the election where we didn't get the result. You want the result within a day. We didn't get the result for a month.
Strategery.
That election got me into politics, and there wasn't a payoff. Now, maybe it's because you didn't know. Like, you're watching it, you're like, whoa, he conceded? Now he didn't concede? What the hell's going on? But it's interesting. Maybe people thought about it that way and figured, I'm not going to sit there and watch it. But think about the total viewers. So they average 42 million viewers. The Super Bowl destroys that.
All right.
I mean, the Super Bowl eats that for lunch and spits it out.
But also in 2000, you had the Hanging Chad storyline.
We didn't know that.
It was sports talk radio. No, I know, but forward, though, I'm saying.
No, I'm talking about election night.
The night
coverage
itself. But that was really an...
And that was a boring election. I don't think people were that excited about Al and George W.
No, but
Bush.
You and I have talked about this off air. The birth of cable news TV, that was really the start of it. And that's what got people invested in the election.
Oh, no doubt. It worked for me. So I'll never forget. I was 17 years old when that election was occurring. So I missed it. I could not vote. I'll tell you who I would have voted for. But I couldn't vote. And my parents went out of town. I think they wanted a hookup. And they knew me and my sister were still around. So I think they wanted to do it. Yeah, I think that's what they did. I'm 17. My sister's 20. She was living there with us. What? Are you guys disgusted by that or something?
Right. Don't they have a bedroom with a door on it?
Yeah, it's not the same, Tegan. You know it. It's not the same.
You just put a sock on the doorknob.
No. I think they needed to... I've never asked them because I really don't want to know about my parents' love life. But I'm pretty convinced they went away on election night to do it. But that's just me.
Election night?
Yeah.
Erection night?
So I'll never forget. I'm up there in my parents' bedroom. They're gone. I'm owning the house and I'm watching this on their TV. They had a very nice TV. And I could not stop watching. Huh. It got to 7 a.m., and my sister's like, aren't you going to school today? And I'm like, this is school. What the hell am I going to learn?
Wait, you skipped school?
100%. Huh. And I kept watching because it was like, and I was right. And I think about this all these years later. It's been 24 years since that election.
Were you already obsessed with presidents?
Got me into it. No, not at all.
Interesting.
So the Clinton impeachment got me like, interesting. I was, like, intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Ross Perot got me intrigued. I was very young at that time, so I wasn't sure what was going on. But Ross Perot was like, oh, this is great. This funny-sounding Texan guy.
Can't finish.
Can't finish. I'm going to roll like a business. Here we go. Oil. Yeah. So I was intrigued by him. The Clinton impeachment I was fascinated by. And then the election of 2000. And as I sit here 24 years later, you're damn right I didn't go to school that day. What the hell was I going to learn that I wasn't learning watching American history?
Were your parents mad at you that you skipped school?
They were, and then they realized he's right. Like, it was a pause of how could you skip school? Then it was like, you're right. Whatever you're learning in school, you'll forget about. It's like why you take your kids out for opening day. You do that because they will remember that game. BT has said this before, too.
Yeah.
Me and him are on the same page on this. They'll remember that game and that day with their dad or their mom a hell of a lot more than that one day of school. The 2000 election? Oh, my God. You know what I'm doing tonight after this football game?
Oh, no. Do not rewatch.
Come on.
I gotta
do this.
How could you even find that?
When elections were elections.
I'm a loser.
How do you find it? Go to YouTube.
It'll definitely be on YouTube the full.
You guys just missed what he said. After the football game tonight.
Yeah.
You just got over bronchitis. Go to bed.
And aren't you doing a RICO, too? On David Stearns or something?
No, we're going to do that tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
Tomorrow's Friday.
I already found it. It's only 2 hours of coverage, which kind of sucks because it went a lot deeper than that. So you got to find more than that. 2 hours. You got to give me like 9 hours.
Nerd alert.
Even more than that. Yeah, if you go on YouTube, you can find any election you want to watch.
But you already...
pretty unbelievable.
You know the outcome.
So?
So, and I know you're like this.
What does that mean?
Because you're the kind of...
back then, you didn't know.
You don't think it's fun even though you know the outcome?
No. Outside, answer me this question, Evan, honestly. Outside of all the Planet of the Apes movies, have you ever watched a movie twice?
Yes.
No, I don't believe you.
Field of Dreams, Major League, Back to the Future, all three.
How to Lose a Guy in 8 Days. I know that's another favorite of yours.
How to Lose a Guy.
With Matthew McConaughey, don't you love... You're a rom-com guy.
I'm a rom-com guy. I don't think I've even seen that movie.
10 Days.
Well, maybe 10, 15, who cares? Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey.
All of Adam Sandler's movies I've seen multiple times.
Interesting.
Big Daddy, Little Nicky, which is very underrated. The Water Boy sucks. I don't like that one.
But you know the outcome of the election, and you want to revisit what exactly? What gets you all excited to be watching?
I just disproved your point. I mean,
That's why I moved on quickly, so we didn't go through all the movies you've seen 50 times. Now.
I rewatch old NFL drafts all the time.
Oh, you know, my God.
There you go, Sean.
Why? Just to see if people were right or wrong?
Yeah, I like seeing the reactions, looking back. Who did they take there? I love the analysis on the players, and you think about were they wrong, were they right. I enjoy it. It's a nice YouTube rap.
Fair enough.
You know what you've inspired me to do? I'm putting the poll up right now.
Oh, no.
What's weirder to watch on YouTube? Old presidential election nights?
I'm a loser.
Or old NFL drafts? What do you think wins?
Elections, because you're going to, sports audience. People are going to think it's cooler to watch NFL drafts.
You think that's going to be the case, T?
Yeah. I think you're right.
No, I'll put it out there anyway. We'll see. Let's get back to your calls. Ross is calling from Morristown. What's up, Ross?
Hey, guys. I wanted to get your opinion. So I know we're talking about Soto and everything going on. I want to take you back to 2009 postseason or 2008 offseason Yankees when they signed CeCe, Tex, Swisher, Burnett. You know, I think they could really make an offer on Soto, Bregman, Corbin Burns. And I want to get your opinion on this take. Do you think they could possibly use Oswaldo Cabrera at first base? And possibly mid-year bring up Spencer Jones to play some first base going into the postseason.
All right. So
what do you think on that? You may call me a moron.
No.
What do you think on that?
No, first of all, I don't think you're a moron at all, because I think what you're merely saying is, will the Yankees or could the Yankees spend a lot of money in free agency like they did 8-9, where they signed Teixeira and CeCe and AJ and Nick Swisher? Could the Yankees do that and then basically treat first base and say, okay, that's where we won't spend money. We'll try to put it together with Oswaldo, maybe John Birdie. Right. You mentioned Spencer.
Who wasn't horrible when he played first base. So he's workable there.
And if you're signing big money players elsewhere, you could afford to do that. My answer to you would be, I'm skeptical that Hal Steinbrenner is going to match the biggest offer for Juan Soto. If I'm skeptical on that, I think a lot of Yankee fans are, then the idea that they would sign Juan Soto and then also sign Corbin Burns or Alex Bregman or whatever other big money guys you say, I think is very, very unrealistic. So, yeah, I think that we would want that. And as Yankee fans, you have every right to demand that, especially knowing that they're the Yankees and the revenue that they bring in. I just don't think it's realistic. Like, I'd be stunned if they signed Juan Soto and did much else. I think if they signed Juan Soto, the rest of their moves would be very on the margins. So, yeah, it'd be great. Like, who the hell would want us to sign everybody?
Right.
I just don't think that's a realistic thing with this team and with this ownership. Let's go to Mike in Levittown. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Real quick on the elections, Sean hit the nail on the head. Like, we didn't think that this was going to be decided for days.
Right.
I mean, Nevada said they wouldn't count any of the early ballots till everyone finished voting, and there was lines for hours after closing. You know, we thought this was going to drag out till like Saturday again.
Right.
So there was no interest in like watching like, oh, what states are closing and votes coming in.
Yeah, no need to stay up till midnight when you could just wake up the next day and pick up the news cycle.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, check Twitter every once in a while.
Fair enough.
But on Juan Soto, I agree with Evan that I do think he's going to the highest bidder, but what I see happening is that either the Mets or maybe another dark horse team just blows them out of the water, or the Yankees will match whatever the top offer as long as it's, you know, somewhat close. They're not going to look for a hometown discount or something. Like, what's $50 million over 13 years for a player like Soto? You know, so
I agree.
It's either going to be way out of the ballpark, the range, like the Mets come in like $200 million over or something, and they're just like, forget it. Or I just think they're going to match it.
Well, that's the risk, by the way, Mike, that I think the Mets have. So last year when we talked about Yamamoto, and I know he's a very different player.
When you put it like in that term, whatever the difference is, $20 million, $30, $40, $50 million, over 13, 15 years?
It's not a lot.
It's nothing.
It's not a lot. Well, I remember saying to you about Yamamoto, and I I was on the record saying this, that I think that Cohen failed. He should have offered $300 million.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, that's, or $400 million, I think, was the number.
But it wouldn't even have mattered.
We don't know that.
I know
they didn't blow away the Dodgers. They made a comparable offer. And once you allowed the Dodgers to be in the same ballpark, you had no shot. You have to pay a Met tax. Who are the Mets compared to the LA Dodgers? They're nothing.
Well, so you needed to. Otani.
Right. So you needed to.
Driving everybody there.
So you needed to blow them away. That was my only point. Now, you had the argument if it's not worth it, fine, you may be right.
Yeah.
My argument was if you wanted Yamamoto, you had to leave there to be no doubt.
But the problem, and I remember having this conversation in real time, was that we didn't know how he was going to pitch or hold up in Major League Baseball. We had no idea.
No,
like Juan Soto, you know.
But do you agree that the Mets have to do what I said a year ago with Soto and leave no doubt?
100%.
Because if it's close, he may choose the Yankees?
100%. But with Yamamoto, it was a different calculus because you didn't know how he was going to be as a major leaguer. With Juan Soto, you've known for years already.
But what that means is if you want him and you're the Mets specifically, you can't just beat the Yankees' offer. You got to beat him by a lot. Because if it's close, our last caller, and a buddy of mine was texting me this as well, believes if it's close, he'll pick the Yankees. And by the way, that's fair.
Yeah, it's almost like it needs to be unprecedented.
It needs to beat them clearly.
Yeah.
And it needs to make Juan Soto's decision difficult to turn that down. That's the disadvantage maybe the Mets have, unless we just believe it's a last penny kind of thing, and Soto's not even going to allow Hal to match, and it's just, get me the best offer, Scott. Wherever the heck it is, we go there. As far as mystery teams are concerned, the idea, and John Heyman reported this yesterday, that the Tampa Bay Rays are interested. Okay.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
700 years, 700 mil.
That would be the offer.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's like Tommy in high school when he goes up to the prom queen and says, would you go out with me?
You know what?
And she's like laughing at you.
But at least I tried.
I agree. So give Tampa credit for trying.
Exactly.
They can't even afford a new roof to their stadium this year. We don't even know where they're playing.
That's the funny part. Are they not going to play at Tropicana Field?
No.
So where are they going to play? In a different city? Or in a different, like in a minor league stadium?
They might be a traveling circus this year.
You know what I would do with them?
They were already in a minor league stadium.
That's like crazy to even think about.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares enough about them, so nobody's reporting it enough. They can't play at home.
I'd care as a Yankee fan, because, man, I'd plan those trips to whatever city they're in. I'd be excited about it. Ooh, they're Montreal? Let's go. Let's go up to Montreal.
I think usually, ooh, they're Tampa is a nice carrot.
Nah, Tampa's boring. Very overrated. It's the state of Florida. The state of Florida sucks. You know it, bro. Come on.
Have you ever been at a resort in St. Pete?
I've been to Florida. It's flat. It's boring. The weather doesn't do it for me. I'd rather go to Montreal than Tampa.
I agree with you, Evan, by the way.
Montreal can't be a family trip, though.
Yeah, it can. Why can't Montreal be a family trip?
Are you serious?
Montreal?
To be fair, the food is very good at their strip clubs, but they're known for strip clubs.
Well, Montreal's known for strip clubs?
Oh, yes, baby.
The bottomless strip clubs.
The accents. Oh.
I thought you
almost didn't make it back.
I thought you meant Tampa's known for their strip clubs.
So is Montreal.
I didn't know. Did you know Montreal's known for their strip clubs?
I did not.
It's a major bachelor party spot.
I haven't been to Montreal.
Really?
No, I've been to Toronto, Vancouver.
Yeah, Toronto's like America. It doesn't count.
No, right. People go to Montreal.
But it's beautiful.
It's strip clubs or and baguettes.
Clean. Say it one more time.
It's definitely clean.
Well, the thing about Montreal, and this is why I would advise anyone to go. I've been there one time. Okay, just one time. When you go to Montreal, it's like you went to Europe. And so you could tell your wife or your husband, we went to Europe. No, we were in Europe. Everything is in French. Everything feels European. But the truth is, you didn't go to Europe. You just drove to Canada. Toronto is like going to another American city. It's really not that. Like, it's not that it isn't nice. It's a very fine city. Like, I love American cities, but I didn't feel like I was in a different country. The only time I thought I was in a different country when I was in Toronto is when I paid cash for something at the convenience store and they gave me back funny looking coins. That was the only time.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, what's that woman doing on my coin? Oh, she's the queen. Wait a second. You have a queen? Like, it's very confusing. But outside of that, like, it's America.
Right, because when you're in Montreal, they speak French.
Dude,
that's why
they not only speak French, everything feels very French. Like, the way the buildings are, the streets, like, you feel like you're in Europe. And I confirmed that when I went to Europe. And I probably shouldn't have said this to my wife because we were so excited. I said, baby, it feels like we're in Montreal.
Who was there?
And she's like, don't say that.
Wait, their queen is, was it Elizabeth?
I think on one of their coins, they honor the British queens because, you know.
Yeah.
All that crap. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said crap. It's wonderful stuff.
Right, but it was a French territory.
Yes.
But it's
French territory, you're right.
But it's the British crown.
I may have gotten this completely wrong, to be honest.
No, I think you're right. Because
Queen Elizabeth II is the Queen of Canada.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I remember when she passed away, it was a big deal in Canada, too. but people speak French there.
Oh, I know why. I got it now. So the British, this is like the War of 1812 kind of crap. So they ran, they were basically in control of Canada until Canada declared their independence. I'm going to guess like the 40s.
Oh, it's 40s, a double dip situation. It's not a separate queen?
No, no. It was, they were part of the United, they were part of England. Like they were territory of England the way we were. See, we fought for our freedom and said, screw you, we're done. The Canadians were like, yeah, we're good. So they stayed there under the British crown until, and you could look this up, I'm guessing like 1947. Something in that range. And they declared their independence. Look it up, Sean. Don't look at me like I got 10 heads. You're not going to look it up? I'll look it up.
Right. I'm looking it up. I'm just stunned. I didn't... Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. They were part of the British Empire. And then they declared their independence. So their coins still show their history of being under the British crown.
Ah, good for them. Was there King Tim Horton?
What?
Yeah, I got a smirk out of that one.
He does the donuts.
Great donuts.
Yes.
And the donuts are very good.
Not as good as Dunkin', though.
No, Duncan, are you kidding me?
You try your new spice latte today.
It's not even in the same planet.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.